or envy must be eliminated. Stop measuring self by any other, for your job and joy will come from your own direction and action, not another's. Change the tape. I am asked why we don't have as many listeners as does Art Bell. We don't have a program is why. We do not want a program. We want no attention save from our people and no attention at all from the general public or governments of any place, large or small. Does everybody here hear me? We want no attention, for otherwise we cannot be getting our mandatory work done. Leave the blowing and prophecies to the Art Bell, Scallions, and others. That is their purpose. It is not ours. Quote, but we could make money in case we don't get funded, is the hue and cry. Not enough is my response. Not enough. We will do what we have set out to do. Massive funding for massive growth. A big piece of digging equipment is going to cost you $500,000 and one only will be nothing. We must have major resources and our own village must be duplicated in various places around the globe, don't you know? We don't want to expose or dispose of our very intentions through idiocy of expectation that we need to be big shots in the overall calamity ahead. Our own island will seem very, very big when you have to walk it. We are reaching the very entities we need. So if your intentions are just to hug trees and attract people like flies, stop and think again, carefully. We have meetings for our team, not to solve the nation's problems. We use the nation's problems to gear our activities so that we are not noted nor plagued by invaders. We are not in competition with governments, and Billy Zipper is his problem and the problem of those who see nor hear anything else. Those problems will soon not be anyone's problems, and more especially not ours. Narrow? Yes, very, very narrow. We will not interfere nor interrupt the political agendas. We have a mission, and it is not religious nor is it political. If this displeases you who might have been waiting for grand accolades from the citizens of a world, sorry. We simply want you to stay alive and the citizens to go their greedy way. I want citizens of God, not citizens of the world. And, oh yes, there are a lot of those nice people scattered all over your globe. By the way, we are not here to know who killed Kennedy or which rendition of videotapes are correct. We learn the past to prevent the repetition of the acts in the future, for we can only build in knowing, not in fighting or tattling, or even in practicing a government process done before. We must know how to build and grow in the direction of God's way, and that means all we have to know of the old is what was, so we can recognize in truth what is. Then we take the knowledge and use it wisely. The sequence of events must be perfect, Sheila's, and not according to your desired, you think, timetable. If you act too quickly, you will be stopped, and every one of you are so impatient as to act too quickly. But if you act too slowly, you miss entirely the possibility presented forever. If we truly serve God, we will have the right way, matched to the right timetable. This does not mean that my team can drift about in the breeze, lest they never get their part of the way provided so that we can get on with the rest. I have about, give or take, one who is not allowed to get very far distracted from myself. The rest try for about every distraction they can find to avoid the input, which is mandatory, but is so fearsome in responsibility. When they get on with focus on that which is mandatory, we will get instant and immediate results. They all, EJ, just like you, cop out at every opportunity, even if it means going to sleep in the middle of a sentence. You have one purpose, and that is to do this necessary work, and everything else is of no importance whatsoever. Do you better understand me now?
Yep.
Ooh, I was going to stop you there.
We have waited and nagged and pleaded with others to take up this awesome responsibility for us, and we find no one. Some have taken up their responsibility and have seen to it that we make it this far. They support in ways that are unmeasured in simple love and, yes, foundation upon which we can continue our own production. And they do this from great distance and solid realization of the need to keep us from folding our own tents just short of the city of stability. Yes, Dharma is given to see and know, but usually not in consciousness, for the conscious visions are devastating and loom large to the human senses. It is painful for Scallion, as a for instance, or your other knowers, to see and realize the components of things to come, which are but the remembering of how it was. This allows you, however, to not duplicate errors, but rather change, grow, balance, and harmonize with all that comes hereafter. But, gang, the time is now for action with the large possibilities. Dharma, for instance, just this week was given to see a vision of a man in robes with blood on almost all of his being, turning to help others who were injured and dying. It was not a large group and the faces were unclear, but she has seen something which will happen within the week or next, as notable people began to be targets of assassins and governments making a play for final domination. Yes, she knows who it is, but the final placing of a face on one of the departing great people is much to bear, and the brain will cover the features so that you can deal with possibilities but not focus on the grief of one. It is like Ellen in that she can grieve over a friend called Dell and his departure at 80+, wherein others who know not Dell can only note that an 80+ man passed on. We must honor both, but one stops the motivation for a bit, while the other allows continued focus instead of distraction. So, was it herself she witnessed? Is it symbiology? It is warning and reference, and don't read more into it than is there. If it be her in her vision, she must realize that she was still living, even if bloodied, and things would go on. If it is not her, it is important, that person there, even the dead ones of note. If you see the face and realize the missing person you planned from which you would receive help, does it slow or speed your assumptions and necessary actions? You must go on, for no man is indispensable to God's cause. You may each be vital, but not indispensable enough to allow closing of the mission at hand. She says to me, "But, sir, I believe it to be Kofi Annan in my picture." I say, "So what? Is the one living or the one dead?" If there is a difference? Not to us, there isn't. Except to realize that things happen and more will be happening, which will literally break your hearts as you see man destroying man. Do not the living spill the most blood? The dead stop bleeding in the human form. If a man is bleeding, he is still alive, and isn't that a wonderful realization? The dead may well precipitate the actions of the living toward positive and good actions. And isn't that an even more marvelous realization? May you never stop seeing the flowers, but may you always continue your vision to that which is to come if you do your work. And work is a silly word, for your work is your very life-sustaining joy. Boredom has killed your world and left it to the dregs of humanity.
I would like to interrupt here. And let's go back to Kofi Annan. That's far, far more important than just to briefly pass on by. And E.J. read that as if, oh, but sir, I see. No. It is an extremely humble, almost fatigued to death tone that says, oh, sir, I see. It is Kofi Annan. And he would be the leader of a new coalition, a global alliance that must have a father to tend it. And I cannot bear to witness, because so much is going on and taking place and there is so much hope, do we lose the very leaders that can make such a grand and great contribution. And if it is Kofi, what will happen to the bloody United Nations? Will Gali come back? Probably so. Or someone worse to fill that empty place. But can you dwell on it? Can Scallion take time to dwell on what he sees? Can the prophets literally stop all that is going on and say, all right, if I don't see it and I refuse to look at it, will it just go away? No, it will not just go away. You have to put your visions into the control of your mind. And you have to understand that if something happens, you go around it. You do not peg one thing and say, well, if that goes down, it's over. And it's a careless term that even I use, and I should not. It's over, people, if you don't this or that or the other. Of course it is not over. Unless you blow yourselves away. But let us always carefully look at our own visions. You're getting them all of the time and you're paying no attention to it. As somebody is blathering on the television or reading off something, all sorts of images come into your mind. And at least seven in this room said, I saw that. I'm not sure who it is either, but I could describe it to a gnat's eyelash. The detail is so vivid. So many of you are beginning to have these thought forms. And these are the thought forms that build and can be manifest. So better not to put a face on that or an identification on that that the fortune teller can project and you make sure happens. Let's leave Annan alone if we can to survive and serve where he's supposed to, if he is supposed to. But that is not your right of decision. But you do not lend energy into something so great in importance. You're going to find over this very weekend there will be news of some woman who has been convicted and will be sent to prison for 2 years for not warning Rabin about his death. Well, I know of at least 50 people that warned about his impending death and nobody listened. They called them New Age kooks. So you do what you can and you let the other go. And carry your vision. When you are up against it, you will recognize it. And you will be cautious. You will beware. It gets harder and harder to even get on an airplane and depend upon arriving safely at the other end of your journey. These things are not going to get better before they get worse. And that's why it is so very important to hear what these other psychic viewers are telling you. You can weigh it, measure it, and then form a balance with it. You're too mature now. There is no excuse reasonable to tell me for your panic. Does that mean you don't have respectful fright or terrors? Of course not. It means you do not fear what's coming because you know it's under control at some level. And what I get back from that is even more interesting. Yeah, but will we be around? Who cares if it's that bad? I don't think you want to be. So let's not concern about it. What is this horror that comes with a transition? Just a process. It's one breath. It's a process. Ah, but you're not sure you've lived well enough to make it on past those next steps out there, are you? Well, worrying about it isn't going to help you. Let's do what we can to make you feel worthy of going across that great chasm with all those little dark energies that didn't make it farther than an earthbound state in an astral plane. There is light on that other side. There is glory on that other side. So let's stop being frightened of it. But let's give honor to all of those that it would appear are interrupted in their very journey toward a balanced world. And then let us turn back to God and allow it to unfold. Go on, please. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Only three paragraphs to go. Think carefully upon these things, for the time is upon you in the choosing and in the sorting. Choose God, and all else will be added unto you. But you cannot choose for another. However, that other may well try to do your choosing. Be careful, and go with that which you know to be right. Salut and good morning. May the day you create be wondrous. People nag about knowing where is it safe. You will know where you are to be in God's placement, for you will be where you are to be. If you pile in upon those who you think to be in security for any reason at all, you will make gross errors. For those in my location, for instance, may be destined to physically not make it. Stop moving about and working in fear, and start trusting God and self as attached to God.
Amen. We're all looking for security. And each of you who have gone off, you know, the deep end with those idiots seem to have a bigger burden than you need to share. Or need to carry, at the least. Everybody wants to share that burden. Well, I just can't make Joe understand. Quit trying to make Joe understand. If Joe doesn't understand, more power to him. You make up your mind what it is, and what is your purpose on this place, and will you make your passage not having accomplished a damn thing? That's up to you. That is up to you. And what is the legacy that you want to leave? A big estate, a bank account, impress the neighbors, especially your children? Oh, Daddy was wonderful. He left me all this money. They will hate you for it. Oh, they're going to love you while they spend it. But they're going to resent you for giving them nothing more. of yourself. The legacy worthy of your children is a world in freedom, a world in God, so that they can blossom and be all that they can be. And if you don't go back to the primitive cave, you don't have to miss a beat. They become the leaders. They become the teachers. They become your connection to and from God in a living state of consciousness. You have gone to the very depths on this place, but it has allowed the opposition of God to grow to the highest peaks. Now you make your choice. And you with babes have tripled your responsibility. They can only be what you allow them to be. And yet you cannot live their lives for them either. You must let them grow and blossom in the garden of God. And if they choose a different way, you're going to have to close your mind and let them do it. Because if you have given them wings and you have given them roots, they'll fly a while and come home and remember their roots. But don't you stop them from flying. It isn't your right. So you might ask, what is a parent's right? And I honor the one who asked me if there was such a thing or a possibility to gift unto God other than what he doesn't have, which are parents. And that seems like it's a little bit hard to understand. If God has everything, what does he not have? Well, he doesn't have two parents to love him, return the gifts. What can you give to God that he doesn't have? Oh, God has parents. Has you. Remember, it's a cycle. It's a circle. And if you are the end of the circle and the beginning of the next, are you not the parents and the child? We're talking about creators, plural. How many universes and how many of those can you put on the pinhead? Who wants to put universes on pinheads? There are enough pinheads in the universe. Let's grow out of this. But the very thought of being willing, oh, I know that somewhere along the way this came around through Princeton, and so I want to give honor for this, because to be willing to love enough to offer such a task is unthinkable to me. That is grossly humbling. And I know from where it ended up that it was meant for me. And I am touched. I am humble that anyone would want to take on, even as a gift of gifts, that awesome thought and responsibility to want and love enough to wish to do that. And after all is said and done, the gift is in the intent itself. And aren't we lucky we don't have to go out and try to do it? There are the things to do. But once our hearts are expanded to that extent We will do it. There is no earthly way to fail. When we know that we have the creative capability to manifest whatever we must have, we will do it. It's that simple. It is that simple. And we're a long way down that road with a mechanism to bear fruit in this orchard. Did Eckers do it? Did Rick do it? Did Charles do it? Did Randall do it? No, but I'd like to see him have a little fun with one or two of the ones we've passed through before. And some of you know who those are. No. I did part of it. You did part of it. But the agreement was made between entities that neither of which you know. You may have touched. When God is ready to create, you are the ones that will create. And if there are blanks in the program, you make them right. You don't leave blanks in the program. But neither do you spend time with everybody who wants to pitch in now, after the work is done, to make the killing. We're going to stop killing. And we're not interested in who has what. We're interested in producing a world in balance and harmony that can survive a period of gross tribulation and move into a new generation of age that can exist alongside your cosmic brothers in the manner that they have proven can work and also live in freedom. Will you be perfection? Not at that level, no. But you'll be close enough that you'll see the value of not backsliding. It's hard on a given day to wake up on planet Earth and have to make such decisions. So let's put failure out of our minds. You can wallow in it if you want to. But the ones who are going to get it done no longer wallow in it. They just try to use shrewd behavior, wisdom, and we're going to take what we have now and we are going to pour it into making a thrust to get this done. Because we now have the knowledge that when we succeed, we can rapidly dispense and disperse value where it can be utilized rather than given away to the New World Order again and again and again. It requires absolute and perfect time sequences. And don't you wish you had been born with a little more patience? Before we beat this to death, I'd like to hear the readings that Ed has been gracious enough to offer. And then we can talk about these tapes. There are one or two other things while he's getting ready. Nora, I would really appreciate it if you would make sure a good copy of this goes into the paper. And Precious, I want to tell you about parasites. It's important that Nora hear me because she's been on a parasite program and her her cancer markers have raised. Parasites are cancers. They are living individual cellular structures that are absolutely nothing more than invaders or mutations identical to the cellular structure of any cancer that you can produce. So as those begin to break up and pass into the bloodstream or the excrement systems, you should get increase of anything that would be recognized as a carcinoma, which is simply, there's only one kind of cancer, and that is a mutation of a cell. There are many sites. I mean, you can have cancers on the tree, and you can have parasites, mistletoe on that same tree, moss on that same tree. They will have to be, under the microscope, a little bit different in their structure, but all three are cancers. So when you say, I have a cancer, if you have one flea, you have a parasite, and that's cancer. Do you see? Anything that has to live off of your system. And a flea is not a good one. Let's use a fluke that would be inside your living system. So let's not panic about things like that. And I'm not so sold on these frequency boxes as they're being presented either. But they do work in some instances. So don't give up too quickly. Now what is happening with Orion is factually beyond our control. No one is going to do anything for him if he doesn't feel good today or he doesn't want to, and they're having to sneak it in and out and so forth. I can't tell you what to do or whether or not it's going to save his life. Maybe he doesn't want his life saved. He doesn't have a home to go back to. Now that there is something to divide up, there's even worse and more harsh disagreements over things. Why would the man want to ever go back? Don't lay a trip on people. We do that. We promise. You'll get better, and I'll serve God forever. That's the biggest bunch of bullshit of all. You think you will because you want so badly at any given point when a loved one is ill. But do you really love enough? Do you love enough to make an issue? Kidnap a child or a parent to get it into a better environment? No, you don't. And that is your business. And you can put up your hands and say, well, I don't know what else to do. Then you won't do anything else. Do you see? And that's all right. Because perhaps that other one has a right to learn also. It is a very magnificent being that will sacrifice himself or herself for the lessons of those around. And it will never appear that that's what they're doing. But basically, when they meet God, that is the understanding. They are no longer to focus on self. And yet, it will come out of their mouths itself is the only thing under the sun they're interested in. We have to let it unfold. We have to allow others to be. And we stop blaming self. We let it go. But I want Nora to know that it does not necessarily mean a negative report. You're getting response. And it's never instant. You can get instant healing, but you can't get instant cure. Anyone else want me to give you a pep talk? Anyway, Nora has presented us with some interesting stuff that actually I would like read onto this tape, but I think we're going to run out of time. There's a lovely poem here that really Dell ought to read. And I think that's all I have for now, if Ed would read. And
okay, I have two writings here, and before I read them, it's not often that I can share what I see from where I stand behind the scenes of, I call it Grand Central by the weekend for the newspaper, but when Commander wrote, and this is just a little interesting tongue in, well, I call it, say, glove in hand kind of story that if I don't share it, the larger audience would never get a chance to experience this. Commander wrote a writing yesterday, the first three or four pages of which began to deal with earth changes from a larger perspective, and probably partly because of the heat that Dharma is under every time Art Bell has somebody on. Probably 20 people call her and say, what do you think? And it puts her under a tremendous load. Now, for 2 years, there have been writings coming out telling people to go inside. So what does it mean when people run to Dharma, run to me, run to others? What's going on? Somebody's not learning their lessons. And the Commander started to talk about this yesterday. When I saw the writings coming in on the fax machine yesterday, the writing from Hatton, the ones who wrote these two writings were unaware of what Commander had written. And I was in a distinct position then as these writings came to my desk yesterday afternoon and yesterday evening to see how they fit tongue in groove with what Commander had written yesterday. In other words, it acts as an internal verification to me of how well the receivers are receiving and how well coordinated from upstairs is the information being given to us right now. And I say that as preface because these are both very serious messages. And for me to feel confident about sharing them, I sometimes need my own inner signals or indicators that these are correct messages and that these are coming from upstairs. And when there is such a coordinated display, and when Commander distinctly writes a personal note to me in the message, which you won't see in the newspaper, saying to be on alert for messages from others on these subjects, and then they appear on my desk within hours, those are very important confirmations. And I share them with you so that you can have that same feeling of attention to what I'm about to read. And I thank Commander for coordinating these things because it helps, because as he's been mentioning lately, it's not always easy to tell what is good information to put in the paper and what is not. And as things get more roller coastery, it's going to be harder to tell. And we must ask the readership to act intelligently on information and go inside. What have we been saying for years? So it's time now to quit chasing down others and start going inside. So with that said, I'm going to begin the first message that came in yesterday from Lanto, which I titled Disasters, in quotes, Disasters Provide Great Teaching Tools. Greetings, my scribe. It is I, Lanto the Sage, one who has gained wisdom through experience. I come in and of the one light of Creator God. I am most closely associated with the physical harmonic frequency of the color yellow, though I am hardly limited to any one vibrational frequency in any one realm. We are all created in the image of Creator's broad spectral expression and thus are limitless beings. Be at peace, for you know me well. I have come as directed by our Father, the One Light, so that His promise to your world will be fulfilled, and so that you ones may have insight into that which is fast approaching into your reality of experience. Know that there is balance in all of Creator's thought projections. Even the most seemingly horrible of events have reason for occurring, whether or not you can see the greater wisdom unfolding before you. Your planet as a whole is in a state of great unbalance. There are many reasons for this condition, and perhaps the greatest one reason is because you, the inhabitants of Earth Shan, have not stood up and exercised your God-given right to demand accountability from the so-called rulers of your planet. How, you may be asking, has this come to be? This has come about mostly through self-ignorance of the masses, but also through deliberate and calculated manipulation throughout the past several thousand years. What you are now experiencing is the sum total of your planetary population's refusal to awaken to a greater awareness of the God self within each. This awareness includes the realization that you are each responsible, both as individuals and as a planetary species, for the kind of energy you allow to propagate from within you and subsequently contribute to the total consciousness of your world. The lack of conscious attunement to balance creates a polar charge in terms of energy flow. This is because every misguided step in the wrong direction, wrong in quotes, necessarily generates a counterpressure toward a condition of balance. There are several ways in which to rebalance this polar charge. The preferred method would be to come back into balance by systematically relieving the pressure by allowing true knowledge to flow into the world. Many of your so-called elite controllers have hidden truths and subsequent technologies from you, the people. These gifts were originally meant to liberate your planet from the need to rape her of her natural resources, which would eventually lead your planet towards a greater freedom. Ones such as Nikola Tesla were sent to bring you the fundamentals of free energy that would put a halt to the world's pollution, starvation, and eventually your preoccupation with materialism. This technology was severely suppressed by the greedy power brokers who would not look past their personal agenda to allow a greater recognition of the true evolutionary importance of such gifts. It was and still is equally suppressed by the ignorance and lack of forthright demands by the general public to insist that this type of evolutionary technology be exploited and utilized. The masses were kept in the dark for the most part and believed the half-truths and lies which their news media sources told them to believe.
Dr. Young, let me, please, bear with me a minute. You're just about to go past something that is so extremely important that these are the times when I would wish that our speakers, our receivers, everybody could sit in a room, and once we were able to do that with Cali and Soltec on a radio program. We've just about zoomed past Mr. Tesla and his incredible technology that has been somewhat used, ignored, abused, buried, whatever, and then utilized in great and magnificently destructive ways. What I want to remind you is that it was decided at the time that Mr. Tesla was growing very old that this world was not ready for his technology. And he did, in fact, go to the grave with much of the more extravagant inventions and considerations that he had perfected in an entirely different dimension of operation, where he could literally put the pieces together, view them working, check their wear points and their weak places. And this was a man between dimensions, as many of you are feeling this very day.
Or envy must be eliminated. Stop measuring self by any other, for your job and joy will come from your own direction and action, not another's. Change the tape. I am asked why we don't have as many listeners as does Art Bell. We don't have a program, is why. We do not want a program. We want no attention, save from our people, and no attention at all from the general public or governments of any place, large or small. Does everybody here hear me? We want no attention, for otherwise we cannot be getting our mandatory work done. Leave the blowing and prophecies to the Art Bell scallions and others. That is their purpose. It is not ours. Quote, but we could make money in case we don't get funded, is the hue and cry. Not enough is my response. Not enough. We will do what we have set out to do. Massive funding for massive growth. A big piece of digging equipment is going to cost you $500,000, and one only will be nothing. We must have major resources, and our own village must be duplicated in various places around the globe, don't you know? We don't want to expose or dispose of our very intentions through idiocy of expectation that we need to be big shots in the overall calamity ahead. Our own island will seem very, very big when you have to walk it. We are reaching the very entities we need. So if your intentions are just to hug trees and attract people like flies, stop and think again, carefully. We have meetings for our team, not to solve the nation's problems. We use the nation's problems to gear our activities so that we are not noted nor plagued by invaders. We are not in competition with governments, and Billy Zipper is his problem, and the problem of those who see nor hear anything else. Those problems will soon not be anyone's problems, and more especially not ours. Narrow? Yes, very, very narrow. We will not interfere nor interrupt the political agendas. We have a mission, and it is not religious, nor is it political. If this displeases you who might have been waiting for grand accolades from the citizens of a world, sorry. We simply want you to stay alive and the citizens to go their greedy way. I want citizens of God, not citizens of the world. And, oh yes, there are a lot of those nice people scattered all over your globe. By the way, we are not here to know who killed Kennedy or which rendition of videotapes are correct. We learn the past to prevent the repetition of the acts in the future, for we can only build in knowing, not in fighting or tattling, or even in practicing a government process done before. We must know how to build and grow in the direction of God's way, and that means all we have to know of the old is what was, so we can recognize in truth what is. Then we take the knowledge and use it wisely. The sequence of events must be perfect, Sheila's, and not according to your desired, you think, timetable. If you act too quickly, you will be stopped, and every one of you are so impatient as to act too quickly. But if you act too slowly, you miss entirely the possibility presented forever. If we truly serve God, we will have the right way, matched to the right timetable. This does not mean that my team can drift about in the breeze, lest they never get their part of the way provided so that we can get on with the rest. I have about, give or take, one who is not allowed to get very far distracted from myself. The rest try for about every distraction they can find to avoid the input, which is mandatory, but is so fearsome in responsibility. When they get on with focus on that which is mandatory, we will get instant and immediate results. They all, EJ, just like you, cop out at every opportunity, even if it means going to sleep in the middle of a sentence. You have one purpose, and that is to do this necessary work, and everything else is of no importance whatsoever. Do you better understand me now?
Yep.
Ooh, I was going to stop you there.
We have waited and nagged and pleaded with others to take up this awesome responsibility for us, and we find no one. Some have taken up their responsibility and have seen to it that we make it this far. They support in ways that are unmeasured in simple love and, yes, foundation upon which we can continue our own production. And they do this from great distance and solid realization of the need to keep us from folding our own tents just short of the city of stability. Yes, Dharma is given to see and know, but usually not in consciousness, for the conscious visions are devastating and loom large to the human senses. It is painful for Scallion, as a for instance, or your other knowers, to see and realize the components of things to come, which are but the remembering of how it was. This allows you, however, to not duplicate errors, but rather change, grow, balance, and harmonize with all that comes hereafter. But, gang, the time is now for action with the large possibilities. Dharma, for instance, just this week was given to see a vision of a man in robes with blood on almost all of his being, turning to help others who were injured and dying. It was not a large group and the faces were unclear, but she has seen something which will happen within the week or next, as notable people began to be targets of assassins and governments making a play for final domination. Yes, she knows who it is, but the final placing of a face on one of the departing great people is much to bear, and the brain will cover the features so that you can deal with possibilities but not focus on the grief of one. It is like Ellen in that she can grieve over a friend called Dell and his departure at 80+, wherein others who know not Dell can only note that an 80+ man passed on. We must honor both. But one stops the motivation for a bit, while the other allows continued focus instead of distraction. So, was it herself she witnessed? Is it symbiology? It is warning and reference, and don't read more into it than is there. If it be her in her vision, she must realize that she was still living, even if bloodied, and things would go on. If it is not her, it is important, that person there, even the dead ones of note. If you see the face and realize the missing person you planned from which you would receive help, does it slow or speed your assumptions and necessary actions? You must go on, for no man is indispensable to God's cause. You may each be vital, but not indispensable enough to allow closing of the mission at hand. She says to me, "But, sir, I believe it to be Kofi Annan in my picture." I say, "So what? Is the one living or the one dead?" Is there a difference? Not to us, there isn't. Except to realize that things happen and more will be happening, which will literally break your hearts as you see man destroying man. Do not the living spill the most blood? The dead stop bleeding in the human form. If a man is bleeding, he is still alive, and isn't that a wonderful realization? The dead may well precipitate the actions of the living toward positive and good actions, and isn't that an even more marvelous realization? May you never stop seeing the flowers, but may you always continue.